This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9. Wominjeka, Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities.
Yes, you're on Urban Dreaming, guys. This is Rami on the mic, and unfortunately, I'm on the panel.
Oh, look out.
So, guys, yeah, we've got a great show coming up tonight, by the way.
Layla Thacker is back.
Studio.
Yes.
And, yeah, we're here from 8 till 9 p.m, and we've got a great show coming up, of course, all the deadly Indigenous music, and we'll be chatting with Jub Clare, who's actually famous, but she will be famous very soon. Director, producer, writer, actor, everything... you name it, she does it.
Yeah,
so
deadly.
Good conversation with her. We'll be chatting about the controversy that's going on right now.
Trevor Noah, comedian slash, you know.
And we've got to the stage where we're finding that it's really affecting a lot of our community, so specifically the Indigenous community. Mm. And I think this is something that needs to be
addressed.
They're calling on a boycott for him to come back into Australia for his next tour. We'll discuss that further. But for now, we're just going to... sit back, enjoy.
Why do we always feel like we need to try? Why do we believe that we need to be somebody else to feel alive? Why do we keep making the same mistakes and believing that it won't make a difference if we try to break away? I'm
Yes, Jessica Malloy there with We've Got Love. I wonder what she's up to right now.
You want me to call her? Nah, give her.
Go on, give her a call, sis. So, yeah, deadly. We've got Joe Williams who's going to be on the line soon. He's going to discuss with us about the Trevor Noah ordeal.
Yep.
And, you know, the reason why we're going to talk to Joe is because he actually made a Twitter directly to Trevor Noah in regards to his show that he performed back in 2013 and saying that Aboriginal women were ugly. And it was just really disappointing, actually, because I used to not follow as such, but I did love Trevor Noah's shows.
Mm, yeah, we all did. He was such an ambassador for, you know, not just any, like, black folk POC community, but our mob in particular, you know.
Yeah, and it's just sad because it sort of makes you think, well, you know, and especially, yeah, like you said, POC, people of colour, the idea of a black man basically
Dehumanising
and
black,
you know,
women.
He's supposed to be a guy who's actually politically empowering to, you know,
and woke.
And, you know, the idea of speaking up for POC in general. Mm-hmm. And for him to do that, it just went backwards.
Yeah.
And I found that really disappointing. Yeah. So, such a shame.
Super disappointing use of his platform, definitely, for sure. But, you know, it's definitely sparked controversy and in a really bad way, you know. I think as black women and black, you know, black people in general, anytime we speak up that's about anything injustice-based, it's always going to spark controversy, unfortunately. But for Trevor Noah, it was, I mean, I have no words, to be honest, Suri, you know, about it all. It's super disappointing.
Well, he's, you know, he's South African. Mm. South African. And the idea of, yeah, I just cannot come to terms or even understand that concept of being able to say something that's degrading to, basically, you're doing it, no, even though he's from a different country completely.
Yep.
He must still understand the reality of that we are the minority. And for us to, you know, it's taken so long for black people in general to rise to be at a certain level.
Mm.
And to do that, it sort of throws back all that hard work.
Yeah, and I think there's no excuses for it, you know. There's definitely no excuses. Them words came out of his mouth, you know. So any excuse if he didn't write it or he's got people that he has to pay or whatever, you know, I mean, these are all my assumptions. But he still, at the end of the day, had the choice to not say that joke. You know, so it's accountability on his behalf, 100%.
Yeah, so just looking at information that's been basically brought up, we've got the, so comedian Trevor Noah, you know, he's under footage from the 2013. They actually took that footage off every social media platform you can come across, apparently.
Damage control.
Mm. Yep. You know, there's no such thing as, this is what he said, there's no such thing as the most beautiful race. All women are, of every race can be beautiful, Noah says in the routine, which originally aired in 2013. But then he goes on to say, and I know some of you are sitting there right now going on saying, oh, Trevor, yeah, I've never seen a beautiful Aborigine before. Yeah, but you know what you say. You say yet that... That's what you say yet.
Yeah.
Because you haven't seen all of them, right? Plus, it's not always about looks. Maybe Aboriginal women do special things. Maybe they'll just, like, jump on top of you and be like, he continues, before cupping his hands to his lips and imitating the sound of a didgeridoo.
Mm.
And all women of every race can be beautiful. And the Indigenous, yeah, former NRL player, Joe Williams, appears to have had the opportunity to share this video over the weekend. And he... basically just wanted to point out that it's perpetuating, you know, and encouraging racial abuse and it shouldn't go on.
Yeah.
And his response was basically, I'm sorry. He said that he's, from memory, he says that he went to the Bundjalaka Museum and he got a chance to see what Aboriginal culture and history is about, and it basically gave him a bit more perspective. And and that thing of being a comedian, like, this stuff is premeditated, you know, stuff that we speak of, and in order to, you know,
move forward.
Well, just to look at that, like, if you say, for example, you were about to do a stand-up show, and you wrote the stuff, and you thought to yourself, "Oh yeah, this is great. This is going to get a bit of a laugh." You know, in the end, it's not going to do justice for our people, but it's going to give a laugh. Now, that's a cheap laugh, isn't it?
Absolutely. And for what audience? Not for us.
No, specifically. And, you know, obviously it's for those who, well, he feels he needs to give that.
It's for an ignorant, uneducated audience.
Yeah.
And that is the epitome of a cheap laugh.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
So... So, what is that about?
Yeah, here's his response here. He says, you're right. After visiting Australia's Bundjalaka Museum and learning about Aboriginal history firsthand, I vowed never to make a joke like that again, and I haven't. And I'll make sure the clip from 2013 is now not promoted in any way. So I guess what's happening is now they're looking at, I guess the whole of Australia is now looking at boycotting his tour.
Yeah.
Whether this happens or not is another question.
I mean, if you think about boycotting, I don't think it's boycotting. I think it's we have to take the education into our own hands, unfortunately. Now, we have the responsibility to educate, you know, other comedians that want to make gammon jokes like this, that no, you can't be doing that. So, yeah, you know, when you say boycott, I use that. I think it's a very loose explanation for what it is that us mob are trying to achieve when we're actually being really public with our response to this particular controversy. But, you know, we just got to stay staunch, yeah, and just knock this stuff on the head when it comes our way.
Exactly. So I guess if you guys want to be involved in this conversation as well, just feel free to SMS us on 0427JOY949. That's 0427JOY949. Or you can email us on onair@joy.org.au. That's onair@joy.org.au. Yeah, boy. All right, guys, we've got another song for you. And this is actually a great one. This is from Alice Sky.
Yeah,
love her.
Deadly Sis.
From the album Friends with Feelings.
Ooh.
And this song we'll let you know as soon as it's played afterwards.
Hey. Welcome back to Urban Dreaming. And that was Deadly Little Sis there, Alice Sky, and from her debut album, Friends With Feelings.
Beautiful voice.
Oh, so deadly. She's a Wemba Wemba singer-songwriter as well, woman and universal little sister as well. But she's originally from country Victoria. And one thing about Alice, Sissy Alice there, her voice is just... It's a combination of hopeful and haunting.
Definitely.
Proper dreamlike as well. So, she first caught national attention back in 2015 with her debut single, You Are the Mountain. So, and she's just been skyrocketing ever since, hey.
Did you go to a concert?
I was a little busy, but, I was there in spirit, eh? Yeah, but, she's been trailblazing. For many of us, hey.
Oh, I'm in awe, of knowing that there's just a constant talent. These musicians coming through, artists in general, and for representing our mob, and it's just so deadly to see. And what's even more crazy is that you have someone who is basically up there, but they just come out of nowhere. it's really interesting to see how that. These people are on their own personal journeys, and it just goes to prove that you don't have to really be in the industry to actually be acknowledged to be.
If Alice in the way that I do, shout out. she's got her own following in her own community that's very underground, and if you're content with that, then you're killing it in your own way in the industry, proper.
Definitely. All right, so on the line right now we have an amazing woman. Job Clerk. How are you, Job?
Oh, hello.
So just for those who don't know this lady, but I'm pretty sure you'll know as soon as I say these few things. So Jubble, actually, I call her Jubble, that's my little nickname for it. So Job, actually, she's done a lot of directing, producing, writing. She's also an actor and everything in between. She wears many hats and not just a master of one, but many. I must say that because this girl is a bloody... She's killing it in the industry and she's just on
fire. I'll give you your $50 later.
Don't.
But just to name a few things that she's done.
Pay me back.
See, that's that typical countryman style, see, from the Kimberleys. But, Jubs, actually, she comes from the Kimberleys. She's worked and lived and... in the Kimberleys and basically now based in Perth. Is it Perth, Job?
No, I'm in the southwest now.
You're getting it wrong.
Yeah. And she's done things like The Turning. She actually worked on Tim Winton's on one of his
Deadly.
Directions. We've also had Jubble. She worked on Satellite Boy. She's worked on Brand New Day. She's done The Circuit. She's done Jasper Jones, the movie. The list goes on. And now you've made your own film.
Well, I'm about to.
Ooh.
Incredible.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit hilarious. I'm all over the bloody place.
That's the way to be, eh?
I don't know how you do it, to be honest. You just
wearing. Well, it's all those lots of hats. God, I don't know how I do it either. It's taking a deep breath and closing my eyes and running.
Oh.
Running in any direction.
True. Wherever the money is.
Yay. Oh, God, if there was money, Jesus, we'd all be doing it.
True. I just saw Jub recently in Melbourne as well, actually. And
I was in Melbourne for something, wasn't I?
Yeah.
I think I saw you the last time here in Melbourne. I think I got the Kate Chalice Award, yeah?
That's the one. And then
I was there for the Kate Chalice Award for my play, The Fever and the Threat.
Exactly. And then I saw a Facebook post on you as well, and you you had everyone gathering for a big event that you were holding. I think it was like another film that maybe you may have produced.
Oh, my God, yeah. I got the West Coast Vision. So the latest thing is Screen West has a feature film fund called West Coast Visions, and myself and the amazing Liz Carney with Arena Media were the recipients for this year. So it's very, very exciting. So after all these years of doing all different kinds of things in film and TV and theatre, short, you know, directing and writing short films and then casting other projects and co-produced, associate producing and all sorts of stuff with all sorts of things, I finally am going to do my own first feature film.
Deadly. Wow.
So can we get the title really of the film at least, exciting. Or is that...
It's a work in process. Title is it's what it is now won't be probably maybe what it won't be later because we're just refining the last little bit of the script. And I think once we've got that kind of all sorted, we'll really know what the name of our film is. So it's no, it's had a couple of different names. So it's no, it's just a film at the moment.
And are you
Of kind of comedy drama? So.
Yeah, it's just beautiful.
And we're holding auditions, yeah, for Maury Minmart.
How did you know I was going to say that? Nah, to hearing it in my words.
Nah. Up and woman, that's why.
Don't.
Actually, you know, just going back now, Jub, because I've known you all my life, and I think about, you know, I also have seen you and your journey and where you've come to now and to this point in your life, and it's really beautiful to see how it's... you know, you started off really basically just performing in high school, yeah? And you did a few acting
shows. Yeah, with your
brother,
mine.
I know, with my brother. How cool is that? And I guess you got the acting bug, what they call the acting bug, and then what made you sort of eventually go, look, I don't think acting's sort of, I'm just going to put on the side for now and do a bit more directing and producing.
Well, it was never about putting acting on the side. It was just an opportunity, a different opportunity arose. Through actually Screen West employing an Indigenous film coordinator other than that NARCL and her coming into Yiriakin when I was working there and kind of saying, anyone got an idea for film? And that was 2004. And that's when Mum and I had an idea and Mum's original concept. And I wrote the script and we put in and we got a really amazing film initiative. Index, $75,000 for our first short little film.
For the Goonboon.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, called Storytime. I know, it was pretty bloody awesome. And
then you spent it all. Nah.
And then I didn't make a movie. You should see my earrings.
Ah.
Awesome. Little diamond.
Don't. Oh, deadly.
And it just went from that to another thing and another thing. And of course, then at the time, living in Broome, in Yarra country, and because I'm Nunul Yarra girl from that way, and growing up also in Port Hedland. But, you know, just at that time, there was just this absolute influx of amazing Indigenous stories with Indigenous, not just consultants, but collaborators. Mm. And it was a really exciting time, and we had The Circuit, we had Mad Bastards, we had Satellite Boy. Wow. All in those years, you know, really close together, and I was kind of up there, and they went, oh, these are really strong Indigenous content shows. We need Indigenous people working on them, and I got really amazing opportunities to cast, having a background in theatre and film, and also a graduate of WAPA, the 3-year course back in the day. I just got a really amazing opportunity to work on all of these. Projects. And then slowly, you know, a lot of it through Bunya Productions, David Jarzy and Grace and Simkin really gave me amazing opportunities. The first big one also, though, The Circuit 1 and 2.
With Aaron Pedersen and Gary Sweet.
Yes, and Kelton Powell and everybody.
Mark Goldsmith.
That's something really interesting to flag as well, that you mentioned you went and studied at WAPA as well. And, you know, it's something that Annie Leah Purcell last week was sort of reiterating as well, like it's important to be in this industry to get some training as well and get some edumacation. In this industry, because it's going to really catapult you in a way that, you know, you're not going to realise it until you actually do study. Yeah. You know, and I tell a lot of mob that want to be in this industry, like, where do I start? What do I do? I'm like, honestly, do some courses,
get some
training.
And it doesn't have to be WAPA. It can be...
No, that's right.
It'd be great. WAPA is an amazing school as well as NIDA and BCA.
Proper recognised.
Maybe Jub Clark could come and teach you and sit down in your room.
Private lessons there.
Actually, I keep calling her Clark because her maiden name was Clark. How's this? And her married name now is Claire.
Oh.
And it's like a...
Because it's their French oui. Her story.
No. Yeah, yeah. So
well, it's funny
just...
you should mention Leah because, of course, Leah was in Brand New Day and, you know, Uncle Jimmy Chai, bless him, wrote Brand New Day, which really kind of got me into this whole mess. My mum and all my family were in the original one, and then in the second Brand New Day, of course, Leah was there playing Marijuana Annie, and that's where I met my darling sister girl, Bane and daughter girl. So he's a big girl now. Last time I saw Leah, she said she's like 21 or even more. I'm like, what the heck? Just seeing that importance of, yes, going to these schools.
Yeah.
There's a lot more projects happening, so there's a much more bigger call for Indigenous actors.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's great to be able to go out into the communities and audition like we did with Mad Bastards and Satellite Boy. And find these pearls, hidden gems in the communities that will never really be interested in going to acting schools. But then, of course, to be able to turn around and go, okay, who are these trained pussycats? Where are they? Let's bring them out and get them onto the casting couch.
Yeah. But because that's the thing, like, you know, you were saying, you don't have to go to WAP or whatever, you know, even just learning from each other. Passing on that knowledge through, you know, if you've gone and done some training, passing on a bit of your training, what you learnt onto our next generation, whatever capacity that might be, it might be experience on set. But, yeah, you know, just doing a couple of weekend courses or, you know, workshops and things like that, like it's just so important than getting on the grog or whatever, you know.
Exactly.
Just trying to swap that ritual over, I guess.
Exactly.
In our community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really interesting too, yeah, when we had the conversation with Leah, the idea of, because she really just follows, like, she's so professional.
Yeah.
To the point of, you know, and it's hard, like, Jubby, you know this too, because the idea of doing what you do, obviously you get acknowledged for what you do and you also even awarded for what you do. But, you know, the idea is, like, you're doing these amazing jobs and you're doing such amazing work for the community and for Australia in general. But the idea is, like, what's... You know, you don't have much time for your social life, you know, because you're constantly having to do one gig after the other, unless you make the time,
exactly,
I guess,
right.
too. But everything everything becomes work, doesn't it?
Well, that's exactly right. And I'm sitting here at my desk, actually on the phone to you, with my tax all around me. And I'm looking at all of my receipts and none of them are going into the personal file because I'm like... I have no personal life. And I'm going, and literally all the dates. Because, you know, I've got this huge whiteboard on my wall.
White
it's
ball.
Very important to everybody. I've got a white ball and a whiteboard. One's a crystal one that I look into the future. Oh. Nothing to do with my husband.
Where is your husband? Is he nearby?
He's in the shed, of course. He's in the shed. But I'm looking at all the dates and matching it up with all my receipts and going, oh, no, I was over there for that date. And, oh, my God, is this petrol for that place? And that thing is for this. And, oh, my God. And I'm just going, I have no personal life. And I think that's what's really funny too, because being based up in Broome for so long and then coming down to the very deep south of WA, being in a very small town, and when I'm away, I'm working, and when I come back, I'm like in the cocoon position, recovering from intense work. And you don't have a social life, and but it does come as a big surprise when, you know, because I know that, like, when I got West Coast Visions, on top of all the, because it was a really beautiful announcement actually at the Screen West Industry celebrations last Wednesday, and there was like a huge clap and excellence, but there was also like an audible gasp of like, where, how did that happen? Like, where the hell? But because I don't go to any kind of social functions, no one knows what I'm doing, and so it was like, that was really sneaky. How did that happen? She just pulled that one out of the many hats.
It's funny how you get into that mode, I guess, of, you know, if you're going to go out and socialise, it's got to be like somebody you know that's in the play, or, you know, you got invited to a particular opening and you know it's going to be a networking opportunity?
Well, see, I'm so far down south and there's no plays down here. There's nothing.
Oh.
There's trees and a veranda in the ocean.
Oh, so no. Well, that's why you got no social life.
No.
Don't.
If anything, it's probably the best place to be away from.
Well, the funny thing, luckily, it's got
all the chaos.
Coming up soon in August, we've got Cinefest Oz, which is this amazing film festival down here. So that's like my saving grace.
Mm.
We get on the 22nd to the 26th of August. This town just gets absolutely inundated with the most amazing filmmakers and films and actors and directors and producers from all over the country and some international guests. So it's a really lovely opportunity for me living down here to go, oh, the industry is actually coming to my doorstep.
Mm, putting
it's the largest prize money in Australia, you know, it's $100,000. So everyone really does make an effort to come down here. It's really great.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Putting your mob down there on the map, eh?
I'm telling you. And because I'm the Indigenous Film Coordinator for Cinefest Oz as well, so I get to be invited a lot.
Oh, so you now, Gammon, make that plug real quick.
I did. Did you like that?
Yeah, that was real smooth. I liked it.
That was so smooth. That was the best segue in the world.
Proper.
I think she actually fit into the regulations of the radio as well, which is great.
Look out.
So, Jabulch, looking at your life, knowing that...
So naughty. Anyway,
I know, right? It's hard to talk to Jub because she likes to talk and I like to talk too. And when we talk over each other, it sort of makes it...
Nothing happens.
Like one convoluted conversation.
I was out there with Auntie.
See, that's what happened when you're related to someone, eh? But I wanted to say to Jub, like, and this is something really serious now, like, we know only Sylvia. So she was one of the biggest inspirations of your life, and that was your mother.
Yes.
Sylvia Clark.
Yes.
And, you know, like, she was one of the original performers for Brand New Day from the very beginnings. And basically, yes, she's one of the foundation pioneers of acting when it comes to Aboriginal,
yes,
theatre and film.
Yeah.
You know, I guess seeing your mother, all her journey and to really make a change in communities and to have such an effect with her work and her life in regards to her passion in the arts. And then, you know, just to see her passing on her gifts to you, it was just beautiful to watch that and to see, you know, because I know myself what it's like to lose a mother.
Yes.
But, you know, the fact that her spirit lives on through you, you can see that so strongly with you.
Yeah.
And I guess what I'm wanting to know is, like, when you do your work, you know, do you find that you're like making a tribute to your mother more than ever now, more so?
All the time. You know what mum was like. Like, literally everything I do and say, I can hear her screaming at me from the side going, I don't think so. I wouldn't do it like that, or blah, 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 and make sure you do it proper ways like that way. I literally everything is mum is screaming at me going, do it right or don't do it at all. It's exactly right.
Well, like, she was always good like that, wasn't she? She made sure she did.
Screaming in a good way, like in a screamy, happy, giggling, ecstatic, euphoric way. And also... Yes, well, Malena's sitting here on the ground too, Uncle Suri.
Oh, Malena.
Happiness.
So good. Yeah, well, and Malena's doing acting now. How's that? It's fine. Yes. I'm finding Malena that it's just passing on from next generation to generation, isn't it?
Yeah, she just did a short film with Kelly Cross, actually. So he's another Deadly Sister Girl filmmaker. And Malena, with nothing to do with me, I had nothing to do with this.
Just to make it clear.
It was all on her own. Of course, I've cast Malena in all the films that I've done, but this one was independent.
You don't make an audition? Nah.
Nothing doing. I was away working on Mystery Road, the TV series, and next minute old girl's got an audition through her agent.
Ooh.
It's 10, if you please.
Look
and
out.
She got her own gig.
That's so cool.
I know.
And wasn't her first debut in Jasper Jones flying a kite?
Actually, no. When she was like six months old, she was in Brand New Day at the end scene,
right,
when they're all singing Nothing I'd Rather Be.
Oh,
and,
my God.
She was a little baby next to the combi van. And then she was in My Short kind of docudrama, Min Min Night, and then she and don't talk about it, it'll come, and then and then she was in, yeah, she was flying the kite in Jasper Jones. And a couple of other things.
That's right.
Well, maybe we'll get her on the show next week.
That would be cool.
Proper.
Of course, the amazing Rachel Perkins did the directing on Brand New Day. And there was another casting department. I'm not sure. It might have been, I won't say who it was. I'm not 100% sure. But because I was doing the second circuit at the time, I came on board after to help with extras casting. But our sister girl, Becky Seriago, was the...
That's right, yeah, because me and Beck got on board for that. Yeah, that's right. And
yeah,
then,
because I was doing the circuit. And then the circuit finished a little bit before the end of Brand New Day, so I came on board in that capacity.
And did you have a cameo in that as well?
Brand New Day.
Yeah, your mum did. Yeah, she was in the church scene, yeah?
Of course, I had the little thing because I was holding Milena, of course. Milena had the cameo. I was just holding her. I was her warm prop.
So cool.
But no, of course, I toured around from the age of 14 to 18 with the play backstage singing on the mic from Uncle Stephen and Pigram Mob because everyone was huffing and puffing on stage, Uncle Bubba. But I know just about every single line to that play because, of course, for 4 years, every night I was by the side of the stage and I know the play very well, and the film was a beautiful rendition of the play, I believe. It was really well done, Rach. She did a great job.
Totally.
So cool.
And she does with everything. She's like got the Midas touch.
And you owe her $50 now.
Well, I do, but Siri will give it to her because he owes me.
Two owing around.
Solid. Well,
you
I will.
Watch, I'll make you owe me $50 in a minute.
Oh, classic. Oi, Jabulch, thank you so much for your time. It's great to chat with you. And we look forward to seeing your film.
I'm going to be in Melbourne in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be there for Myth.
Awesome. Let's get you live in the studio.
And now everyone knows that was listening to this.
Oh, no. I'm not actually. I'm talking about next year.
Love your job. Thank you very much. Take care.
Yeah, I love you. See you later. Kaliamabu.
Kaliamabu. Yes, Kaliamabu means goodbye or hello as well in our language, in Yigana language. So, really good to have a conversation with her. It was actually a bit of a catch-up, really, wasn't
proper.
It? Don't you love that?
Proper personal call there.
Yeah. So I'm going to play another song for you guys. This is My Black Boy by Jessica Wishart. Enjoy.
Oh, Your words could win $100,000. Play today.
Every woman has different features. You can be beautiful no matter what race you are. Yeah, women all can have beautiful faces. Women can all have beautiful boobs. That's just the standard thing, you know? All women of every race can be beautiful. Yeah. And I know some of you are sitting there now going, oh, Trevor, yeah, but I've never seen a beautiful Aborigine. Yeah, but you know what you say? You say yet. That's what you say. Yet. Because you haven't seen all of them, right? And plus, it's not always about looks. Yeah. Maybe Aborigine women do special things. Yes. Maybe they'll just, like, jump on top of you and just be like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that song just then?
The song prior to what we just heard before was Black Boy by Jessica Wishart. She's a young Bajara woman who writes and performs songs inspired by her love of music, family and culture. The interesting thing about Jessica is that she's very passionate about education for Indigenous people, young people in particular, and she believes that, you know, to help young Indigenous people channel their frustrations and anger, they should be doing so into leadership and integrity. Which she does with her music, eh?
Amazing music. Now, that track I just played literally before the announcement of the song as well was Trevor Noah. And that's the racist clip that was actually resurfaced after 2013. Mm. And this has actually caused a bit of controversy, a lot of controversy, actually, throughout the whole of Australia. Mm. And a lot of our countrymen are not happy.
Mm.
Now, I've got on the line with me Joe Williams. And Joe Williams is actually, he's basically made a tweet direct to
Trevor,
and he wanted to tell him that what he's done is completely unacceptable, and what Joe says is your comments about Aboriginal Indigenous X in this clip are utterly unacceptable. As a man of colour, you're usually in a point with racism and divide, and here you are perpetrating and encouraging racial abuse. And in response to that, I guess what happened was Trevor basically just said he went to the Bundjalaka Museum, he got a he got an understanding a bit more about culture, Aboriginal culture, and he didn't really make an apology. He just said, look, and I will take the clip off and I'll make sure it's not being seen again. And now, right now, we have with us Joe Williams online. How are you, Joe?
Good evening, guys. Thanks.
Good, good. Good on you, man, for standing up for our countrymen and making
calling
a
stance.
I guess, I have to say, first of all, it wasn't me that, that put it out there first. I was tagged on something on Facebook, and then I shared, my disgust on Twitter then, and I sort of picked up a bit of momentum from there. So, it was a couple of other people that actually brought it out into the public eye first. But then I guess I'm lucky enough to have a bit of a platform with some people that follow me and the work that I do, obviously through my sports career, and then the work that I do now around suicide prevention around the country. But if it was. I guess the people who follow me that helped, bring it out and bring it give it a little bit more momentum. Then it's only a positive thing because these sort of things have been ignored for too long, and for for 230 years, our people, our women in particular, have been battered and bruised and, you know, and pushed down to the point that it affects us deeply. And, you know, it's not just about women standing up for other women. It's got to be our men standing alongside our women saying, you know what, this isn't acceptable. Mm. You know, people, we've all got mothers. And, you know, I've got a wife and I've got a daughter. You know, that directly affects those three females in my life. And I've got sisters as well. So it affects, you know, up to five different
nieces and grandnieces, and the list goes on. You know, the idea of affecting each generation. So,
you know, I'm a huge believer, and this is what I live my life by is what we ignore, we accept. You know, when we see the type of dismantling and disrespectful comments as such, then I'm going to pull it up every day of the week. You know, and that's not only about what I do, but it's about owing those women who have fought long and hard for survival of our people and our country and our culture as an Aboriginal people.
Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree with you on that, Bulla. You know, the thing that I think was really disappointing too was, you know, he is a black man essentially as well, you know. I think this is something we
expect.
You know,
the first people we've been having in our corner.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, people of colour are the first people. And you know what? A South African guy who his people have been deeply affected by apartheid in that country, he should know the effects.
Yeah, no excuses.
You know, so... No,
but should he know? That's the other thing. Obviously, he doesn't know because he did this and he made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
So I guess, is that because maybe he wasn't really brought up with, you know, who's to say? He wasn't educated to be able to...
His team was so quick to retract everything online. I mean, this was something that he did a few years ago, so why didn't they retract it then, you know?
Well, this could all have been avoided, you know? Exactly. Why wasn't the clip pulled back down back in 2013 or whenever it was, and then all this could be avoided.
Exactly.
But you know what? I found a bit of class in him actually responding personally. I found some class in that. You know, he didn't have to. He's got millions of followers, so...
But you don't know if it was him.
Yeah, true.
It could have been his team.
His PR.
Twitter verified his account, so I can only assume that it was his account. But you know what? Like we said, you know, class or not, there was no apology.
Mm.
There was only acceptance and acknowledgement that it was a rubbish comment.
Yeah.
There was no apology.
And
the apology isn't to me or communities or anyone else other than women. Like, it's got to be an apology directly to our women.
Mm.
He's deeply offended our women. And, you know, there's aunties, sister girls, and, you know, people right across the country that are, you know, are hurting from this.
Yeah, and I think too he's essentially saying it's okay to make jokes like this, you know, knowing he's got such a following. He's essentially just, making an example out of what's acceptable.
You know, the thing is that he's a hugely profiled person.
Yeah.
There are hundreds of people that have commented that do accept those comments, you know, so it's... Now, people out there say, oh, but it was back in 2013. Yeah, well, so what?
Mm.
Doesn't make it right.
Mm.
I actually wanted to know whether this was brought up on that year as well, when it actually when he first did this incident. Was there a follow-up on this, and was there any apologies at that time as well?
Well, I don't know. And again, this is the first time I've seen the footage you know, the other day when I posted it. So, again, you know, it's about moving forward, and you know, if we're stuck in a place of, I guess, hatred, and you know, our old people have always been accepting. So if he comes out and he accepts his responsibility and apologises, and sits down with the women, because let's not forget, he's out here on country in our country, and going to be profiting off his shows on our country.
Yep.
And he's disrespected our females.
Yeah.
You know, there's more that needs to be done.
Yeah.
And this isn't just an Aboriginal issue. This is an all people issue.
That's right.
We are the first people of this country, and we are the first people for everyone.
Yeah.
So, you know, be in our corner a bit.
Exactly. And stop practicing the colonizers' culture.
100%. Yeah. Agreed.
Well, Joe, thanks again. You know, it's just incredible with the work that you do, and it's so good to hear. Just goes to show one man's voice can change so many others' perspectives. Mm. And I think the idea for us to, you know, for all of us to take that, take a leaf from your book.
You know, it goes by, again, the saying is what I live by, what we ignore, we accept. There would have been plenty of people that heard those comments and said, ah, that's not really right, but didn't do anything about it. Well, you know, let's not accept those comments.
Mm. Thank you so much, Joy, for your time. Take care. And, this is us, guys.
That's all. Yawo.
See you, Joy. This is us, guys. Enjoy your evening. All the best. Thanks for joining Urban Dreaming.
You have been listening to Urban Dreaming with your hosts, Sue Rummy and Miss Elanius, a show that aims to bridge the gap and close the divide. You can stay up to date by adding us on your Facebook and download the podcast from joy.org.au. Urban Dreaming on Joy 94.9.
Tickets for Midsummer Festival's annual fundraising event, Midwinter Gala, are on sale now. This year, the gala will be held in the splendid surrounds of one of Melbourne's most iconic venues, Melbourne Town Hall. Join effervescent host for the evening, Gretel Colleen, to enjoy a three-course meal, fine wines, a silent auction and special guest entertainers, while raising essential funds towards the support and development of Midsummer Festival artists and culture makers. The fifth annual Midwinter Gala, Saturday, August 4. Grab your VIP or standard tickets now by heading to midsummer.org.au. A community message supported by Joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.